The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts: Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad, Habibi Rabbil Alameen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in lahum bi ihsanin wa hudan ila yawmiddin. Alhamdulillah. Yesterday we completed looking at the 40 hadith Qudsi. That's the first set of 40 hadiths in Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani's collection on 40 sets of 40 hadiths of the beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani mentioned at the end some hadiths on the merits of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he added a tatimma, a completion of a number of hadiths, a hadith qudsiya, fi fadli dhikr, in the merits of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first of these, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال موسى وددت أني أعلم من تحب من عبادك فأحبه. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم relates that Sayyidina Musa عليه السلام addressed his Lord, I was hoping that I could come to know, wadidtu, right, which is wishing to, caring to know, right, from wud, like that term for love, wadidtu, it's to, I wish that I could know whom you love from amongst your servants, so that I may love them. قال سبحانه وتعالى إذا رأيت عبدي يكثر ذكري فأنا أذنت له في ذلك وأنا أحبه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, if you see my servant make much remembrance of me, then it is I who gave them permission to be able to do so, and I love them. وَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ عَبْدِي لَا يَذْكُرُنِي فَأَنَا حَجَّبْتُهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. And if you see a servant of mine who does not remember me, then it is I who have veiled them from that. وَأَنَا أُبْغِضُهُ, and it is I who dislike them. This is related by Daraqutni and Ibn Asakir from Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is why Imam al-Qushayri in his Risala relates that adhikru manshurul wilaya, that remembrance of Allah is the proclamation of electhood. Right? So whoever has been granted to remember Allah has been given this proclamation, and whoever has it taken away has been cut off. Right? And this is one of the ways to test oneself. Right? Where am I with respect to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alamatu hubbillah, hubbu dhikrihi. The sign of the love of Allah is the love of His remembrance. So, there's two aspects here in this hadith. One is, because we know that the reality is that Allah has granted us choice. So we should choose remembrance. And choose all that facilitates remembrance, because all that facilitates remembrance draws us to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. He loves them and they love Him. But we can take that as a criteria as well. What are the things that we embrace in life? Those things that facilitate for us remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, directly or indirectly. And how do we engage in anything that we choose to do consciously? We choose to do those things in states of remembrance of Allah, not in states of ghafla from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So this should be, remembrance should be our criteria with respect to our conduct. The second thing is here of, you know, many possible lessons, but just to mention briefly, a second thing is that we keep the company of people of remembrance. Right? Because Sayyidina Musa asked this question, that I wish to know whom you love of your servants so I may love them. Right? So we choose carefully whose company we keep. We choose carefully whose company we keep. Because not all company is the same. And the company that you keep affects the state that you're in. Right? So one should strive to keep consistent company with those who care. Right? And this is, of course, something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands His Messenger Himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? That وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Make yourself remain patient with those who call upon their Lord. بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِي. By day and by night. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. Who are seeking His countenance thereby. Right? And do not move your eyes away from them, seeking the fleeting pleasures of this world. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us to be wary of those who are heedless of His remembrance. So remembrance of Allah is a criteria, that those are the people we should embrace. And we saw the hadith, هُمُ الْقَوْمُ لَا يَشْقَ بِهِمْ جَلِيسُهُمْ, that the people of remembrance are the people whom no one who sits with them will lose out. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us that we need to remain patient with them, right? Because temperaments differ. We do not expect perfection from any. So people may have their temperaments and their annoyances and their flaws and everything, but we seek those who are seeking Allah. And the sign of seeking Allah is remembrance. The next hadith, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله تعالى يا ابن آدم إذا ذكرتني شكرتني وإذا نسيتني كفرتني رواه الطبراني في الأوسط وغيره. It's related in the hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O child of Adam, if you remember me, you have been grateful to me. And if you forget me, you have been ungrateful to me. كفرتني كفران النعمة, ingratitude. And O child of Adam, if you remember me, you have been grateful to me. Because the basis of gratitude is recognition. Right? It's to recognize the blessing. And the true recognition of the blessing is to recognize its bestower. And forgetting to recognize the blessing is because you are heedless of the bestower, and that's the basis of all ingratitude. And this is related by Imam Tabarani and others. يقول الله تعالى يوم القيامة سيعلم أهل الجمع اليوم من أهل الكرم قيل من أهل الكرم يا رسول الله. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم relates that on the Day of Judgment, Allah Most High says, all the people of this gathering will know today who are the people who are honored. It'll be said, and who are those, the people who are honored? Ahlul Karam. Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahlu majalis dhikri fil masajid. The people who gathered for remembrance in the masajid. This is related by Imam Ahmad and Abu Ya'la from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. And this is why Imam Ash-Sha'rani relates, and this is related from him by fuqaha from the, you know, it's Imam Ash-Sha'rani mentioned it in his writings, but the fuqaha amongst the Hanafis and the Shafi'is, you know, frequently quote this as well, as related by Imam Tahtawi and Ibn Abidin and others amongst the Hanafis, and quoted from him by commentators on Ibn Hajar's works, that the scholars from both the Salaf and the Khalaf, from the early Muslims and the late Muslims, agreed on the praiseworthiness and high encouragement of gathering in the mosques and in other places to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are people who are honored. And we looked at many hadiths in this collection related to that. The next hadith, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أُخْرُجُوا مِنَ النَّارِ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي يَوْمًا أَوْ خَافَنِي فِي مَقَامٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will declare on the day of resurrection, take out, أَخْرِجُوا مِنَ النَّارِ, take out from the fire whoever remembered me even a day, or feared me even a day. Rahu Tirmidhi an Anas. It's related by Imam Tirmidhi from Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Yaqulu Allahu ta'ala, Abdi, Iza dhakartani khaliyan, dhakartuka khaliyan. Wa iza dhakartani fi mala'in, dhakartuka fi mala'in khayrin minhum, wa akbar. Rahu al-Bayhaqi an Ibn Abbas. Allah Most High says, O servant, if you remember me alone, I remember you to myself. And if you remember me in a gathering, I remember you in a gathering that is better than them and greater, right? Which is the highest company of the angels. Rahu al-Bayhaqi an Ibn Abbas. And in a similar narration related by Ibn Shaheen and others from Abu Huraira, مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي وَمَنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْهُمْ وَأَطْيَبٍ. And the Prophet ﷺ also related that Allah Most High said, whoever remembers me to themselves, I remember them to myself. And whoever remembers me in a gathering, I remember them in a gathering that is better than them and more pure. أطيب. And this is related similarly by Tabarani from Ibn Abbas with the wording, إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي عَبْدِي خَالِيًا ذَكَرْتُهُ خَالِيًا وَإِذَا ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٍ مِنَ الْمَلَئِ الَّذِي ذَكَرَنِي فِيهِ. That whoever remember that if my servant, and this is an inscription of honor, my servant remembers me alone, I remember to themselves, I remember them to myself. And if they remember me in a gathering, I remember them in a gathering that is better than the gathering they remembered me in. And another hadith which is related by Imam al-Bayhaqi from Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي, I am as my servant thinks of me. وَأَنَا مَعَهُ حَيْثُ حِينَ يَذْكُرُنِي, and I am with them when they remember me. فَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِهِ, and if they remember me to themselves, I remember them to myself. And if they remember me in a gathering, I remember them in a gathering better than them. And in another narration, Rahu al-Tabarani, that's related by al-Tabarani from al-Kabir, from Mu'adh ibn Anas, with the wording, لا يذكرني عبدي في نفسه إلا ذكرته في ملأ من ملائكتي ولا يذكرني في ملأ إلا ذكرته في الرفيق الأعلى. That in this narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates that my servant does not remember me to themselves except that I remember them in a gathering of my angels. And they don't remember me in a gathering except that I'm remember them with the highest company, the Mala' al-A'la. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله تعالى أنا ما عبدي إن هو ذكرني وتحركت بي شفتاه رواه أبو داود وغيرهم. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates, and this hadith is in Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim and many others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates, أَنَا مَعَ عَبْدِي إِنْ هُوَ ذَكَرَنِي. I am with my servant when they remember me. وَتَحَرَّكَتْ بِي شَفَتَاهُ. And their lips move by my remembrance. So that's the completion of the 40 hadiths and the tatimma, the completion of those 40 hadiths of Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He realize us with these meetings and that He make us of the people who always turn to Allah and who have always turned to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because all that you seek is present with Allah, as Sayyid Abdul Rahman al-Majdhub said. The next set of 40 hadiths, Al-Arba'un al-Thaniya, أربعون حديثا نبويا في الثناء على الله تعالى. The next 40 is a collection of 40 hadiths in praise of Allah, mighty and majestic. And we'll read the first hadith so that, you know, we uphold the sunnah that's related to the Quran, which is that we don't stop at the end of the Quran, but we... The Prophet ﷺ said, you know, that told us that when we reach the end of the Quran, we should go back to the beginning and read a little of it, so that we're like the rider who remains constant in their journeying. Right? You don't just stop. And this applies to anything that one does. Right? One makes a resolve, when one finishes one thing, immediately to begin another. And we saw the mashayikh do this. Sheikh Adib Kallas, rahimahullah, if he finished a text with a student, they'd agree on what they'd read next. It says, you know, let's at least begin in it. Or at the very least, to commit, okay, this is what we're doing next. Right? But where possible, you know, he would begin in it. So that we, you know, one remains constant. So these are 40 hadiths in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we'll read the first one, we'll explain it next session. On Abi Musa al-Ash'ari. عن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال كنا في سفر فجعل الناس يجهرون بالتكبير فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أربعوا على أنفسكم إنكم لا تدعون أصم ولا غائبا إنكم تدعون سميعا بصيرا وهو معكم والذي تدعونه أقرب إلى أحدكم من عنق راحلته رواه البخاري ومسلم وغيرهما. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu relates that they were on a journey, and some people began reciting the takbir very loudly. Right. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the commentators explain, because, you know, to gather between this and other texts, that they were being excessive in their raising of their voice. He said, you know, be merciful to yourselves. Like, you are not calling upon one who is deaf nor absent. You are calling upon one who is hearing and seeing. And He is with you. Right? And He is with you. And the one you are calling upon is closer to each of you than the neck of their mount. Than the neck of their mount. And of course, this is a metaphor, because the closeness here is not a physical closeness, it is a metaphysical closeness. It is the closeness of the qayyumiyya of Allah, that He is qayyumu samawati wal ard. He is the sustainer of the heavens and the earth, who al-hayyu al-qayyum, the living, the all-sustaining. This is related by Imam Bukhari and Muslim and others. So we will be continuing with our look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and continuing from this spot, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Today we'll also be looking, as is our habit, at a section from Ta'lim al-Muta'allim, the instructing the student on the proper manners of seeking knowledge. And we've been looking at what the intention of seeking knowledge should be. Right? So he began by telling us, right, that above all, we intend to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رِضَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, and all that contains of closeness, of love, and then the various intentions related to oneself, of benefiting oneself by removing ignorance and bringing the religion to life within oneself, and to preserve Islam, and to remove ignorance from others, and to bring the religion to life in them, and to preserve the religion in Allah's creation, right? And that all the virtues are only possible through knowledge. So we looked at that. And then the lines of caution, that there are two grave harms, right, in life. The scholar who does not uphold the limits of guidance, and the ignorant devotee, right? Particularly, are they harmful for the people who follow them? And even worse than the ignorant devotee is just the ignorant person whom other people follow. Because at least the ignorant devotee, even if you don't listen to what they say, you may be impressed by the fact that they appear to be, that they're devoted to Allah. But worse than the ignorant devotee, at least there's some reason to follow him, is the one who's just ignorant. Then you're a complete fool. Right? Because at least the devotee has something going for them. At least they seem to be praying and making dhikr, etc. You could make some argument that, well, I followed them because they appeared religious, this, that, and the other. And then he continues, وَيَنْوِي بِهِ الشُّكْرَ عَلَى نِعْمَةِ الْعَقْلِ. So Imam al-Zarnuji says, and through seeking knowledge, one intends through seeking knowledge, bihi, ay bil ilm, a shukr, gratitude, thankfulness for the blessing of the mind. Because every blessing has a gratitude that is due to it. Every blessing. And what is gratitude? Sarful abdi ma an'ama alayhi ila ma khuliqa min ajlihi. Because gratitude is for the servant to direct what Allah blessed them with towards what it was created for. And there's maratib al-shukr. The least of gratitude in this sense. Imam al-Junaid was asked, what is gratitude? He said, ash-shukru alla ta'si Allah bima an'ama alayk. The least of gratitude is that you don't disobey Allah with what He blessed you with. Right? Then that's ingratitude, right? Below that. The least is, do not disobey Him with His blessing. So be in obedience. Then direct it to any good. Then direct it to what is pleasing to Allah. Direct it to what is most pleasing to Allah. Right? There's degrees of gratitude. So, gratitude, why did Allah create the intellect? So that we may know how to seek Him. So that we are able to seek Him, and we are able to show others how to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So gratitude for the blessing of the intellect. وَصِحَّةِ الْبَدَنِ. And right, likewise for the soundness of the body. Because you have the capacity, right? You have the health and the well-being to be able to direct yourself to something of benefit. And if you were to direct your body to something of benefit, then the best of benefit is that which is of eternal benefit. وَلَا يَنْوِي بِهِ إِقْبَالَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ وَلَا اسْتِجْلَابَ hutam al-dunya, and one does not intend with it any meaning of people turning towards one, right? To get people to develop a following kind of thing, right? Nor to amass the paltry gains of this world. Nor وَالْكَرَامَةَ عِنْدَ السُّلْطَانِ, nor does one intend to have high standing with the ruler and with the authorities, right? So, and in that time, people sought, status and wealth and prominence through, getting close to the rulers. And in our times, there's many manifestations of that. There's a whole industry of Islam incorporated, right? Of all kinds of activists and self-appointed leaders and others who, they're not governed by principle, but rather simply by, looking good in front, whether it be in front of people or looking good, having, well, I've made it. I got to the White House iftar, I have made it. But it's not that you've gone there for some purpose, for some benefit. There's nothing wrong with going to a White House iftar if there's some clear benefit in it. And it's a matter of judgment. Someone may go to meet the president or the prime minister or someone for a good reason. Having thought through some good desired outcomes, or simply to minimize harm. But going there just so you can take a selfie with someone, right? That's about the self, right? Or that so that you can network, but again, not to network in order to be able to be of benefit to your community, to be of benefit to your country, to be of benefit to Allah's creation, but simply to get ahead, right? These are all, we may not have sultans, but we still have power, and there are those who cozy up to it just for worldly gains or personal gains. وَقَالَ مُحَمَّدٌ بْنُ الْحَسَنِ لَوْ كَانَ النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمْ عَبِيدِي لَأَعْتَقْتُهُمْ وَتَبَرَّأْتُ مِنْ وَلَائِهِمْ. Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the great student of Imam Hanifa, if all people were my slaves, right? If all people, just imagine. Now, they're all your slaves, your servants. Okay, so, well, you can make me coffee, you can do this, you can... Said, if they're all my slaves, what would he do? I would free them all. And I would disavow myself from any relationship of any wala, any responsibility towards them. Because he's not seeking them. Right? He's not seeking them. It's not about them. Right? وَذَلِكَ, and Imam Zarnuji explains, ذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ مَنْ وَجَدَ لَذَّةَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِهِ قَلَّمَا يَرْغَبْ فِيمَا عِنْدَ النَّاسِ. And that, Imam Zarnuji says, is that the one who finds the sweetness of knowledge, ladha, the taste, right? The sweetness, finds the taste of knowledge and of acting upon it, will rarely be avid for what people have. Right? Though even the sweetness of knowledge is not sought in itself, right? It is a it is simply a reinforcement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to direct oneself to one's purpose. And he relates some lines of poetry. We'll read them and then we'll stop. He says, أنشدنا الشيخ الإمام الأجل الأستاذ قوام الدين حماد بن إبراهيم بن إسماعيل الصفار الأنصاري. Right? This great scholar, Hamad ibn Ibrahim al-Saffar, relates for him, imla'an, and he related to him in writing, so he wrote it, li Abi Hanifa, that Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, is said to have said in poetry, من طلب العلم للمعادي فاز بفضل من الرشاد فيا خسران فيال what does it say, Sidi? فيا لخسران طالبيه لنيل فضل من العباد. Right? So it said that Abu Hanifa said in rhyming verse, whoever seeks knowledge for the next life attains divine grace and attains by divine grace right guidedness. Bifadlin, fadl, is divine grace, divine favor. Right? Whoever seeks knowledge for the next life, whoever seeks knowledge for the next life attains by divine grace to Rashad, right guidedness. And what loss for those who seek it, for any favor from Allah's servants. What a loss, right? Imam Zarnuji mentions one exception. He says, Allahumma illa idha talab al-jaha lil-amri bil-ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar wa tanfidh al-haqqi wa i'zaz al-deen la li-nafsihi wa hawahu. He said, by Allah, unless one sought prestige, jah, for good intention. Right? And this is, the asl is that one does not seek fame, prominence, position, authority, rank, any of these things. Right? That's not the question that guides the one who is sincere. The question is, what will be pleasing to Allah? Right? But, it says, unless someone sought that prestige to be able to command the good and forbid the wrong, or to be able to make the truth prevail, tanfidh, so it can be fulfilled, for religion to be honored, i'azaz, la li nafsihi, not for oneself and not for one's caprice. So that's the critical question that people who are engaged in activism, and when if you're active, you will come upon the possibilities of prestige with respect to whether you're given the stage, or you're given media attention, or you're given, you're in the spotlight in any way, or you get close to power. Right? That now, is it because, well, I could get a job, I could this. If it's I could, then do not, right? But if it's genuinely and sincerely for the sake of Allah through the attainment of some clear benefit or the prevention of some clear harm without a greater ensuing harm upon yourself or others, then you may proceed. But this is, they said, this is mazallatul aqdam. This is a place where feet slip. So how do you pursue? One key to safety is to consult. It's come from in the prophetic tradition, وَشَاوِرُ الْحُكَمَاء, consult the wise, the wise and the learned. Right? Consult. Right? But true consultation, right? Which is consultation where the consideration is, what will be pleasing to Allah? What will be of true benefit? Right? Consultation in which you are clear and committed that you will follow the consequence of that consultation if it is pointing you to what is pleasing to Allah and what is of benefit to Allah's creation. Right? It's not just a token consultation. You go to someone and say, Shaykh, I'm doing this, is it okay? So you say, well, make dua before you go in, right? Or whatever. Like, because you're already going. What am I going to do? Grab you and say, no! Right? Although many people need to hear that, right? Then he says, فَيَجُوزُ ذَلِكَ بِقَدْرِ مَا يُقِيمُ بِهِ الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. In that circumstance, when there's a clear and manifest benefit, clear infinitely greater than the harm entailed, then he says it is permitted to the extent that, to the extent of the benefit. To the extent that one is able to command the good and forbid the wrong. Right? Or whatever other clear benefit, right? So the basis is that one does not directly pursue prestige or power. If there's a clear interest in its pursuit, then the intent must be clear and the benefit must be clear, and it must be pursued only to the extent of the clear benefit. And the caution in it is consultation. Okay? And then he says, and this is particularly true for a seeker of knowledge, he says, وَيَنْبَغِ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يَتَفَكَّرَ فِي ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّهُ يَتَعَلَّمُ الْعِلْمَ بِجُهْدٍ كَثِيرٍ فَلَا يَصْرِفُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا الْحَقِيرَةِ الْقَلِيلَةِ الْفَانِيَةِ. He says it is incumbent, particularly, on the seeker of knowledge. Because you know what life is all about. To think deeply about that. For one only attains knowledge, one only gains knowledge through great striving. It's hard work. So don't squander it by directing it to this paltry dunya, right? To paltry worldliness that is perishing. Right? So, and then he says, he quotes these lines of poetry with which we'll close. He had dunya aqallu min al qalili wa ashiquha adallu min al dhalili tusimmu bi sihriha qawman wa tu'mi. فَهُمْ مُتَحَيِّرُونَ بِلَا دَلِيلِ. Said, this is worldliness. Less than the least. Its lover is more abased than the abased. It blinds by its magic some people and makes them deaf, so they are bewildered without guide. And this is one of the signs of worldliness, is that one just goes off on one's own without dalil, right? Without guidance, without proper guidance, right? It's not, I have decided this, is it okay? That's not guidance. Okay, you've decided it. You know, that's one. But, you know, truly, you know, by truly following guidance, right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be guided. And then he gives some related counsel, which we'll look at tomorrow, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So this class, some people online were asking, we have this at the Hub in Toronto from Mondays to Thursdays, from 6 p.m. Toronto time till about 6:30-ish. Bismillah. Someone asked about Black Lives Matter. Yes, they do. But nothing ultimately matters unless one realizes that life has a purpose, that creation has a purpose. And that's why the ulama, their role is to make guidance clear. Because none of you believes until they wish for others of the good that they wish for themselves. But it is only really belief, yeah, some lasting meaning that would give us lasting concern for others. Right? So that is what needs to be rooted in any political concern, in any activist concern, in any social concern, in any economic concern. And the believer is full of concern. But that concern is rooted in concern for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and concern for the guidance. Right? Because the complete clarity on what ails creation is in what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come with. مَا فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ. It's شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. It is a cure for all that ails hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for facilitation. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.